This episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast is sponsored by footygreets.com.
Hi, it's Paul Devlin here.
Hiya, Jeff Horsfield here.
This is Neil Danz.
Rowan Vine here.
Birthday, wedding, anniversary, or any occasion. Personalised video messages from your favourite footballers. footygreets.com.
Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast Christmas special. I'm Christmas Golding.
I'm still Matthew Elliott because I don't really have any festive related puns for my name, I don't think so.
Just called Turkey.
Yeah. Elliott. I am a turkey.
Sprout. I might call you Sprout for the rest of the podcast.
Sprout, yeah. So you call me Chewy, but there's not really a Chewy related Christmas pun either, is there?
No.
I don't know. Anyway.
Sprout. Sprout will do.
I'm a sprout.
You look
I'm
like a
Christmas sprout.
Sprout.
I am wearing green today, to be fair.
So you're ready for Christmas?
I am there or thereabouts. I just need to do wrapping, really, which I always
I've heard your wrapping. It's not very good.
No, it's not. I think I'd be classed in the industry as a mumble rapper. I always leave it to the very last day, normally Christmas Eve, and then just go upstairs for a couple of hours, put on some music and have a couple of beers or a glass of wine and just do it then.
You know that tinfoil's really easy.
I've threatened my missus with tinfoil wrapped presents for 6 years and I have not yet given her a tinfoil wrapped present. Maybe this is the year.
You haven't even got the balls to do it.
Maybe I haven't really.
You want to spend Christmas with your family, yeah?
she puts a lot of effort into everything we do at Christmas for the girls, and certainly a lot more than I do. So, yeah, I think the least I can do is wrap her presents properly. Yeah. So, yeah, what about you? Are you thereabouts?
Well, we always, I meet a friend on Christmas Eve, and we always have. Go out and do a little bit of Christmas shopping and have a few beers, which isn't happening this year because of the state of things. I'm not even allowed to meet someone else outside, are you? So, because we're in tier 3, probably about to go into tier 4 as well. But I've still got to go out and pick some stuff up, so I will be doing that. But other than that, it's only a few little bits and bobs, so otherwise pretty prepared. And ready. We've got a few items that were are now touch and go of whether they'll get here because of the borders being shut down. I think they were coming from Germany, so I'm not sure whether we'll get them in time. But otherwise, all good.
Good stuff. I think we're pretty much all sorted. We had our farm delivered today, so I think I've shown you before some like little farm deliveries every now and then, but this farm are doing pretty much a Christmas special. So they basically do all your fruit and veg for you. They prepare your food. And they also started doing, they linked up with some local butchers as well. So we've got some meat coming our way, and they've also done their own desserts now as well. So we kind of had this like one, you kind of pay it off after like a few weeks at a time, and then they just deliver it. It came this morning. So my missus was proper excited about that. And there's not a lot of room in the fridge for my beer now, which is a bit disappointing. So yeah, I'm going to have to try and rearrange that later when they're not paying attention to try and get a few cool ones in. So
squeeze them in.
I'm sure
get there. So, should we get on to the football?
Do we have to?
Wow.
This was such a nice conversation.
I know, it was lovely, wasn't it? But to be fair, I haven't got an awful lot to say about it. We obviously had the game at the weekend, and it wasn't great. It was 25 minutes or so.
Well, yeah, this is one of the things that I thought the reaction on Twitter was what I'd class as a pretty typical, but also fairly hysterical in some quarters. It is very shit to lose 4-1. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it didn't feel to me like it was a 4-1 game. Now, Darren Purse spoke a lot of nonsense during that commentary during that game. But one thing he did say was that it I don't think Blues deserve to lose 4-1. Okay, it's down to individual errors. You could say we did deserve to lose 4-1. It didn't feel like it should have been a 4-1 game. I think there's obviously issues there. It was not good to see Neil Etheridge with one absolute howler and one pretty awful mistake. But going back to the very second minute of the game, something didn't feel right with him at the very start. He was coming out of his box.
Off, didn't it?
Yeah. It felt erratic.
It looked like they'd gone with a game plan of trying to play him as a sweeper keeper, which doesn't. he did it a few times in the first sort of half an hour. And he's not that type of keeper. So he looked really uncomfortable.
Well, he has absolutely fucking zero distribution quality. Yeah. This is one thing he really struggles with is his distribution from his feet.
And to be fair, I think it's something that he admits to himself as well. And he's maybe told the lads that don't expect anything special from me. But it's obviously something that they've looked at Middlesbrough and thought, oh, that could work. Just didn't work at all.
Yeah, it bothered me from the off that did. It was the only thing in the first sort of 20 minutes that I thought, this just, he doesn't seem right. Now, when that team sheet first came out, we looked at the centre midfield pairing, which we've joked about before, the immobility of San Jose and Adam Clayton.
Or lack of.
Lack of mobility, yeah. I can understand from that they wanted to try and keep hold of the ball. But if you want to play a more possession-based game, you're probably better trying to go 4-3-3 and sticking maybe Gardner in there or Sonjic in with those two. And yes, okay, you've got one person that can supply the energy and the other two can be a little bit more add the sort of technical side of the game. That said, for 20 minutes, it looked fine. We didn't look like we were being overrun in midfield. They were taking control. We looked pretty good. We created two or three good chances. The Hogan header, which should have done better with, and then the Hogan through on goal, which was a very good finish. I think this is an excellent save by the keeper with his feet. It'd be very difficult to place that any better. I think it was just a great save.
Yeah.
If one of those two go in, along with the goal we did score 2-0, I think you see a different game for the rest of for the rest of that game. I think you find we'll play with more confidence. I think Middlesbrough's heads may have dropped. I think it's completely different. Okay, that didn't happen, and we got scumped 4-1.
I think part of the problem is, you mentioned the sort of 20 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever, and it was almost very much like the two that he had there ran out of energy very quickly. And in that short time then, if you haven't got on top of the game with a clear advantage, I mean, 1-0 is not, you're not distant then, are you? It's very catchable. Yeah. And at that point, they've got no energy. And then it allows Middlesbrough to get back into the game very easily. It very much just looked like it stopped working because of the lack of energy. Half time, obviously, the change was made then that he brought on Kieftenbeld and Sonjic and sort of went back to what it was. But then that's two substitutions then that he'd made. And when he tried to change the game later on, he had to stick with those two. Because I've made those changes. I can't bring them off. I can't make any other further changes. He was very stuck in what he was doing. And it's that. We mentioned it last week or the week before and said with Clayton and San Jose, if you play them, they've probably got half an hour in this system. We've probably got half an hour at the most, maybe 45 minutes at a scrape. If you play them, really, you're better off playing them towards the end of the game, bringing them on and trying to get your foot on the ball.
I know, I get that, because you want a little bit, you want an air of control around the game. And let's not forget, okay, people quite rightly said we want to see Sonjic and Kieftenbeld start again. And, you know, we thought that would probably be the same, and it didn't happen. But when he did bring them on, we weren't any better.
No, but yeah. I think at that point, though,
in fact, we arguably probably were worse when they came in. And it's not them. And there were further substitutions down the line where you bring Jukovic on and you take your wingers off. That blew my mind. But I mean, I saw a lot, there was a lot of talk around the back four. Now, early on in that game, sort of the first 20, 25 minutes, you would have seen Pedersen and Conlan push right up to almost be playing as wingers. In fact, Conlan scored, didn't he? Yeah. But there's a period where they were both really, really pushing up beyond Clayton and San Jose. It's almost in a bit like the way Sheffield United played last season, where sometimes you see Man City occasionally play, where their centre midfielders sometimes drop back. And to me, that looked really, really good. And we had Middlesbrough on the back foot then. Obviously, we didn't capitalise. We know Conlan scored another good goal from a defender. The back four for me, I know what people will say, but during that game, just to switch back to their actual defensive duties, weren't the biggest problem for me, despite the fact that we lost 4-1. It sounds mental to say that, but you look at the first goal, I think Clayton completely switched off when they had a quick free kick and they scored from, it looked like Efridge maybe could have done better with the first one as well. I need to see it again, but was that the one that where was it Assombe Longa scored the first one?
Yeah,
that he kind of just sort of coughed on Torau, gave him COVID, and Torau sort of hit the floor. And well, just that to me was just like, you can't let someone, I know it's Assombe Longa, he does that to a lot of people.
Always seems to do it to us.
Yeah, why was Torau on him anyway?
Yeah.
And B, whoever is on him, you've got to be stronger than that. If you've been given that, if that is indeed your man, or maybe he was picking him up because he was passed off, I don't know. I'd have to look at it again. I don't think that was a back four problem.
No, I don't think it was a back four problem as such, but I think just the organisation defensively throughout for the first two goals, perhaps they just, no one seems to know what their job is, what their role is. I mean, you've mentioned it there, Torau back in the box defending. He's playing in a number 10 position. So I know it was a set piece, so maybe that sort of come back and defend it.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, there was a short free kick by McNair to one of their players, and then it was played into Assombe Longa, and like, you want someone stronger on him, fair enough. But we just looked very sleepy then. The second goal, Cross came across the box and Clayton just sort of switched off again.
I think if you look at the marking in that whole, the whole goal, or the first two goals, they just look a bit unorganised or very unorganised, which considering how we started the season and people looked like they knew their role, their positioning, who they were picking up, that didn't seem to be there.
and you're right. But it has been the case for a few times this season. I am not buying that George Friend is the messiah and makes us 10 times better in defence either. Because I don't believe it's true. People can say it all they want. I've saw a lot of people saying that we miss George Friend, etc. Maybe we do. Maybe it's more of a calmer head back there.
I do buy into that. I don't. Not that he's the messiah, but I do think that he makes a difference. I think that we look a bit more composed and.
Well, potentially, I don't think he makes as much of a difference as people seem to be making out. But I mean, we don't know how long he's out for. From what we've heard was that he's got a small fracture in his kneecap or something, or near his knee, so something like that. So I mean, he's 33, 34. He's
it's no age, mate. That's no age.
He's for a footballer, yeah, mate. Well, he's been out. He had a lot of time out last season. He picked up a fair few injuries over the past couple of seasons. You know, he is a calmer, more mature voice in the dressing room and probably on the pitch as well. But, you know, you buy players that, or you bring in players that are at this age and have had a history of injury of the past few seasons, you're going to run this risk of this happening. So, I'm not entirely convinced I saw a lot of people saying that Roberts and Dean can't work together. I think that's bollocks. I think they can work together.
If you're watching it though, over the last few seasons, I'd say that there is some structure to that, because every time that when Clark Salter came in last year, Roberts looked better, Dean looked better with him, but together we haven't seen, they don't look solid.
I don't understand how you can play football for, you know, however many years. I mean, what, Roberts is 29, Dean's probably around the same age or something. Are they? You can play football for that long and not strike up a partnership with someone.
No.
You know, I just don't. For me, that just that doesn't wash. Especially when you've got a coach as well who's experienced as Karanka, certainly from who was a central defender himself. Please tell me that's right. He was a central defender, wasn't he? Yeah. You know, I just don't buy it. And there's obviously a reason why he's not playing Jay Clark-Salter in there with Dean.
Says he was a left back, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been down that one already. I'm just annoyed at the hysterical reaction from a lot of fans. Well, we got pumped 4-1. I don't think it was a 4-1 game. I think on another day we could have won that game. And
While you're on this, while you're sounding like Steve Cuttrell, we've had some 15-second opinions come in. So let's hear them.
15-second opinion.
Started off really bright, first 25, could have been 2-0. After that, absolute shit show. Defence, individual errors all over the place. Don't blame Karanka. We've seen these performances over and over again from the same players. Something needs to change.
We're now 6 points behind where we were after 20 games last season. We started the game with 7 from last season's squad and we finished it with 9. We're going absolutely nowhere. There's been no progress. It's a relegation dogfight yet again.
Without wanting to sound too much like Steve Cotterill, I think on another day we make those blocks and we score those chances. So let's write it off. It's a bad job and try again.
To be honest with you, lads, at this point I'm sick of players hiding behind managers. Yeah, Karanka made a few questionable decisions again today, like starting Clayton and San Jose and the triple sub, which is a bit mind-blowing, taking the wings off, to be honest. But how can he account for individual errors every week? Like, this back four has been woeful for too long now and we need changes.
Jamaica then?
Well, it's what I expected. There was one chap on the net said just like kind of write off. It's just one of those games, and I think it probably was. It's just my general feeling is that, you know, we just need to let things. You know this. I've said it to you before. Just let these sort of things just play out. Let him develop the team as he wants to. You know, yeah, okay, that back four is the same back four as we finished the season with. Fair enough. We've had one transfer window. Okay. We've brought in another two defenders. So we brought in Friend and we brought in Jake Clark-Salter, who obviously was here last season, but you know, he's had one opportunity to bring in a couple more defenders. Like that, there could be more movement in January. I'd be surprised if there was a lot, because I think they'll probably, part of me thinks they'll want to keep their powder dry for the summer. They'll try and go with what they've got. And I think that the talk about a relegation dogfight, I think, is just, we've seen what we can do against Brentford, against Preston, against Bristol City. Who was the other team we beat fairly recently?
Reading,
yeah. We've got a good draw away at Stoke. We played very well at QPR. you know, there are games there that have shown that we can
all right against QPR.
I thought that was one of our best games of the season. I really enjoyed that. It's just a shame that we didn't.
That wasn't saying much earlier on in the season, was it? No, I really
enjoyed that game. But you know, it's like we've shown that we can do it to an extent. You know, we were very unlucky against Cardiff, I think, and yeah, despite getting pumped 4-1, on another day, that's, you know, the rub of the green, as we spoke about the week before, may have gone our way. Individual, you can't account for individual errors, and it is individual errors. But you know, and it's, I think there is an element of
individual errors keep happening, then there's something really wrong.
I agree with that. I do agree with that, but I mean, two of those errors were down to with Neil Etheridge.
Yeah,
you know, you wipe them out, that scoreline looks a little bit more respectable.
Yeah, let's hope that he's got those out of the way in one game. I mean, there's been a few times we spoke about it before where he's not looked comfortable with crosses, and he sort of came out and flapped at them a little bit sometimes, but he's saved us points. And gained us points already this season. Yeah. So let's hope that in that one game he's got them out of the way. So he comes back on Saturday and he's strong as ever. And we see one of them performances. Because if you can get rid of them in this, and it's one of them days, then we'll take it, won't we? get it out of the way. At least it's not like a continued one this week, one that week, one the other. So
one of the other things, obviously, as seen people mentioning, I think we've brought it up previously as well, is the home form is obviously pretty diabolical compared to the points we've picked up away from home. And I'm interested, just like, because I don't think we've really spoken about this. It's just like, do you think there's anything in that apart from the white sleeves thing? I'm not buying that.
Well, we did speak about it last week briefly, didn't we?
Yeah, we did briefly. Yeah, it confuses me because, you know, when we're away from home, it's like there are no fans. I think, well, obviously I think the Reading game we had fans, and that's been there. I think. Yeah.
Record attendance.
Their biggest crowd. It was their biggest crowd ever. Yeah. So it's not that. I don't think St Andrews is a. I don't buy that. It's like it's. There's a lot of pressure on them there, especially not without the fans.
I think there'd be more pressure if fans were there.
I think that, and this is a conversation I had with somebody else about this. It's like, would there be more pressure, or actually would the players respond differently when they've got the crowd behind them? Because we know that it does. Make a different, like, you know, when I go running and I listen to music, I get a 10% more,
yeah,
like just motivation, adrenaline from like listening to certain songs, or maybe even more than that. Like, with the fans behind them, the players, I think we make a massive, not me and you, make a massive difference to like the performance levels of the players sometimes. And I think that's severely missed at the moment.
I can see that, but on the flip side, I think if things aren't going, fans aren't patient. There's so much allowance, and Blues fans have been generally quite patient. So, but fans in general, I mean, look at this stuff under Zola. We gave that so long before the fans actually turned. Generally, I think we are pretty patient, but fans as a whole aren't. So I think that there's going to come a point where if this is Karanka experimenting still, and he still doesn't, maybe he thinks, right, I've got half a season, got till Christmas, and I can experiment, move players around, try different people in different positions. And now he's figured out, right, 4-2-3-1, I'm going to go with that. I've got my number 10, I've Hogan up front. I'm going to try with those two midfielders, and it doesn't work. There's no fans there at the moment to get really fed up of substitutions and this, that, the other. So when it's happening, there should be less pressure. I think if fans were in the ground, I think there'd be a massive, at this point, at this point that we are in the season, I think people would be getting really pissed off, and that it would be vocal as well. So in a way, I think there's probably less pressure on us. But yeah, obviously we're missing the support side of things as well, and the lift, like when you go behind to lift you up.
I don't think we'd have had a couple of the penalties go against us either.
Referees, I think through the whole during lockdown and having games without fans, I think that they've found a massive relief because they can make decisions, bad ones as well. But
they've arguably got worse without fans.
Like you say, there's no fan pressure on the referees. So, I mean, we're sort of going off topic a little bit here, but I've noticed that like foul throws, they haven't been given. They've allowed players to gain a lot more yards from taking throws and from free kicks where they sort of bring the ball out, kicking the ball away. When was the last time that you saw someone get booked for kicking the ball away? It hasn't really been happening under lockdown.
I can't remember anyone kicking the ball away recently.
I've seen it a few times, probably was. They've knocked it out like into the advertising boards or whatever, but because there's no fans to get wound up, they haven't been. So it's one of them things, I think, that sort of come with it. Different pressures and less pressure on certain people. But I do think that it probably is having an effect on Blues that the fans aren't there to support them. But I think that's going to be outweighed with the having less pressure with the way that we're experimenting this season.
My mind is all over the place today with this. I think I'll probably end up just chopping and changing my mind all day, all week. This is why I don't go on Twitter that much anymore in terms of like, posting anything or tweeting very much these days that's football related, because I can't really be arguing into conversation about it with people. And I just wish, and you've spoken about patience, that we just, and I know we can't because we get emotionally charged and we react to things differently, but I just want to let things play out. We're going to have bad days, but we're also going to have good days where, you know, we have results that we got against Bristol City and Reading, etc. And I'm confident we will see more of those. Yeah, do we need more players? Yeah, of course we do. But we're one transfer window into, you know, the new regime, so to say. I've always said it's going to be three or four windows to try and evolve the squad to where Karanka wants it. We haven't had that new manager bounce. We've been unfortunate in that respect, you know, that we've only really had that with Gary Rowett, didn't we? I think it's probably the really most effective time we've seen that. I just think we just need to kind of almost let this organically just develop, and I hope that he gets the time to do that. I know some people are already getting on his back for it, and I've read some interesting comments by people on various forums or, you know, on Twitter, and, you know, it's their opinion and that's fair enough. But, you know, I still think we've made the right decision, and I think we will see fruition from it. We've just got to let it develop. We've had so many managers over the past few years, and we've gone absolutely fucking nowhere. And, you know, that's partly down to Dong and whoever was advising him, etc. But
I completely agree with you. I do think that it's going in the right direction, and I do think that we need to stick with it. Making a change now would be pointless. All you're doing is starting the process again, getting someone else in to bring his own team in to go through the whole process of settling everyone in and instilling their system. But I just think that the one thing that needs to happen now, we're so many games into the season, and I think now, if you don't have some idea of what system you're going to play and what players you're going to play in that system, then you're not going to win many games. You're not going to be competing in many games. I think now, this is the point now where I'll start losing a bit of patience with them if he doesn't start playing a team regularly that are settled, because He's got to start doing that now. There's no excuses. And after Christmas, the games start spreading out as well, don't they? The mad rush of them's gone.
We're close enough. I think he's got to a point where we're close enough to... I think we must be close enough to him working out what's going to work for us. Let's not forget as well that... And there will be matchups when we'll play throughout the season where some players are better suited to certain games than others. I think we're there or thereabout. I think he's got to a point where he knows 4-2-3-1 is probably going to be, it's going to work best for him. I think it looks like we're more effective when we play Hogan up top. If you're going to play Sanchez and Vela and probably Terrell for now as those three behind, the back four pretty much chooses itself. You know, when Friend comes back, you probably put him in there. I know I've said as well about him not being the Messiah, but, you know, for argument's sake, you know, if he is that calm head.
Stats point out, I think, don't they, as well, that we've done better with him at the back. So
absolutely. So, okay, I take that on board. The central midfield pairing of Sonjic and Kevin Beld looks like it's been our most effective, but that isn't going to work in every single game. And I think... we've got a squad now to be able to rotate every now and then. And you know, there's going to be certain matchups in certain games where we will have to change things because, you know, they've probably looked into it, analysed it and think like certain players are better suited to play in these. And it's not always the case where your best 11 players make your best team. And I think we have to have the trust in Karanka to pick the 11 players that he thinks are going to be best suited for that game. And, you know, and he's still learning about them. And I'm happy for him to continue doing that. But obviously, we do need to see a slight upturn in fortunes. But I'm still pretty positive that we'll be fine.
Absolutely buzzing to say that we're now joined by the guy who originally joined on a one-month contract in 2012, stayed for six seasons at the Blues, making over 150 appearances. Robbo, welcome to the podcast.
How are we doing, fellas?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Now, Merry Christmas, first and foremost. No Boxing Day fixtures for you this year?
Yes, buzzing.
So, on that note, what was your worst Christmas memory of a game over a Christmas period?
I think the worst one for me was when I was at West Brom and we played Derby at home, it was, on Boxing Day. And I had an absolute stinker. Everything that you could possibly think of not going right for you on that day, that was me. I think I give away two penalties. And just had one of those days where it just wasn't meant to be for you on that day.
Just doesn't go your way sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. Everything I tried to do went in Derby's favour. So I think I was a Derby player for that Boxing Day.
had you had a few glasses of champagne? The day before?
No, which I have now. I think I've just eaten too much. Because at Christmas, obviously, you've got to be careful with what you eat. But yeah. I like to obviously enjoy my food with my family when I can. And it's no different on Christmas Day, especially when there's loads of food that you just want to constantly pick at. I'm making that as the excuse. Maybe I ate too much. So I definitely, because I don't drink before games. I never have. So it definitely weren't the drink, but I wish I'd had a couple now just to try and make me think that maybe I might have played a little bit better.
Was it the effects of the turkey, the sprouts, the stuffing and the broccoli all together, was it?
Oh, it's the pigs in blankets that get me. They're so addictive. I think I've got to have a train to them myself.
What did the final score end up in that game then? You gave away two penalties. Did they score them both or?
No, they missed one and scored one. I'm sure they scored one, but I think we won the game in the end. But it was just, you know, one of them games where I literally wanted to forget. Even though we'd won, I was just so annoyed with my performance. It was one of those where you just think, oh my God, what was I doing?
I don't play to a decent standard of salt and I know exactly what you're on about. That's not me every game.
So on the Christmas theme, I'd imagine you've obviously played for quite a long time. Have you got any interesting Christmas party stories that you're able to share with us?
Yeah, I've had a few over my time.
Okay.
So there was like some good ones at some real good ones at West Brom, some good ones at Birmingham where we did the Oppo suits. Do you know them? So you'd get like money, so a suit that was designed with loads of money on it. Ones where you could sort of like be like a Superman, Batman. Yeah, so we did that one year. We went to Newcastle for the weekend, we did it out the hat. So whichever suit the lads pulled out of a hat, they had to go and buy it on this Oppo suit.
Are they really ugly suits as well? Is it those ones where the patterns are just terrible?
Really garish kind of things, yeah.
Yeah. So it was just a laugh and a joke where we just one day, so on a Sunday, you had to wear it for the whole day until the evening. So when we went out straight away, as soon as we woke up, you then had to wear it for the whole day. If you didn't, then it was a punishment. You had to do like a drink or something like that, or you had to pay for everyone else who's around. And then in the evening, we go back to the hotel and you just get dressed into your normal gear and go out and clubbing that later on.
What suit did you have to wear and who had to wear the worst?
Well, they were all bad. So it didn't really matter. I think I wore, did I wear a red one? I pulled a red one out.
Yeah, really?
So I was quite lucky.
A bit Christmassy.
So it's funny. It was like, so Breck Shea was there. He was dressed as gold. So he painted his face gold as well.
Went all in.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. It was a good crack.
Did you say you went to Newcastle?
Yeah, we went to Newcastle, yeah, for the weekend.
Was Lee Clark at Blues at the time?
Yeah, was that Lee Clark's idea, was it?
Yeah, Lee Clark was the manager at the time, yeah. And we played Blackpool that weekend and we lost 1-0. It was a weekend, I remember as well. I should have gone off in that game because I had stitches on top of my foot from a tackle. Oh. From one of their players after about the first 10 minutes, and I carried on. And I had to try and fit my shoes in. And every time I tried to put my shoe on, my foot just kept bleeding where the pressure kept putting pressure on my foot, trying to get the shoe on. So I had to cut the shoe and managed to get it on in the end.
So you had a garish suit and a sliced up shoe?
Yeah, so to be fair, it was red. So it went well. My socks were white. But so it went really well.
Who was the last man standing that night at the Christmas party?
Oh, we had a big squad. That was a good group. Yeah, so it was Ryan Shotton. He likes a drink. He's a great crack. Me, Thomas Kuzak, a big drinker.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, so we had Lee Novak, Geordie Lads. Do you know what I mean? Or like the Geordie Lad in Lee.
Yeah.
So yeah, good character, Stephen Gleeson and all that. Yeah, so it's a good group of people, good group of lads.
Did Lee Clark go out with you on the night?
No, we banned him for the weekend. He went back to Birmingham.
Did he give you any pointers?
Yeah, I think just to stay away from the ones that he went in. So yeah, that was quite a funny one. There was one where at Bolton as well, we flew to Sweden. So Johan Almander obviously used to play. He's a big name in Sweden. Yeah, we flew out one weekend after a game as well on a private jet that he'd organised, and he treated us all to a weekend in Sweden, which was unbelievable because it was snowing as well. So we just had loads of wrestling fights in the snow while we was out there. But yeah, it was like a bad Christmas jumper day we had. Which was on the Sunday. You had to buy, so you had to pull a player's name out the hat and you had to get him the worst Christmas jumper. That could be like a cardigan, and it could be any size as well. So it, no matter what size they were, they had to fit into that jumper for the week, for like that day. So that was a funny one. That was as well. That was a real good laugh.
What are you up to at the moment, Robbo? Moving on.
Just enjoying family time at the moment. Obviously, you know, I left Birmingham.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to have a break with the family and just switch off for a little bit. Got 24 years in the game was quite intense for me. And we got to lockdown and obviously had a few thoughts, and Birmingham made my decision a lot easier with me leaving. So, I'm just enjoying time with the family and looking to get back into the game, hopefully in the new year. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You've been doing some media stuff for Watford, I think I'd seen on your Instagram, had you, recently?
Yeah, Watford have been brilliant with me. They've asked me to like cover some of their games. So, I've done quite a few of their games. So that's been good. I've really enjoyed that. Obviously, West Brom have asked me to do a few bits and pieces with them as well, so that's been really nice. Just keeping myself busy in that sense of doing the media stuff, but I have a real love for coaching. That's my passion, and hopefully, yeah, in the new year, there's obviously with this COVID situation, it's not helping with bringing new staff in and having to change certain stuff just because of financial reasons with certain football clubs. Have just got to be a little bit careful at the moment. But yeah. I'm hoping that in the new year I get a few chances where I can get in and observe a few teams training and go and watch a few games, which would be nice.
Good luck to you for next year. All the best for 2021. Hopefully it's a much better year than 2020. We're all hoping for that, I think. So
it can't be any worse, can it, fellas?
Well, I hope not.
It's going to be more positive.
Yeah. All the best for the new year. Hope you and your family have a great Christmas, and thanks a lot for joining us.
No worries, fellas. You too. Enjoy your Christmas.
Cheers, Phil.
Cheers, Robbo. Thank you.
Anyway.
Right on.
Now, as it's Christmas, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun with a Christmas quiz, and we've managed to persuade a social media superstar to come on and host a quiz for us.
Midland celebrity.
A Midland celebrity, none other than Brummy Joe.
Tamworth Joe.
Well, we know him as Tamworth Joe, but you know.
Yeah, well, his name
he likes Tamworth, to be known. Yeah. He likes to be known as Brummy Joe, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Welcome might be geographically incorrect, but you know.
Welcome to the pod, Tamworth Joe.
Let's not get into that.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome,
hello,
mate.
Thank you for having me on. I was going to say about time, but here we are.
Better late than never.
I have brought along, I've brought along my own very Christmassy quiz.
Excellent. Is it very Christmassy?
It's slightly Christmassy, and what I've done, I've made it so you can play along at home. We've got some sound effects, haven't we?
Have we?
I think you've got some sound effects, hopefully. So. There we go. Get a pen and paper, play along at home. Unless you're driving, then just do it in your head. Keep your eyes on the road.
Don't write the answers down while you're driving down the motorway. Or you won't be driving home for Christmas any longer.
Oh, beautiful.
Ba-dum.
Okay, are we all ready? Do we know the rules of quizzes?
Well, you ask questions and we write down the answers. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes. Is that my first? Was that the first? Was that the first question?
No.
I wasn't ready.
Right. I have got five questions for you today. Five very Christmassy / blues questions. I hope you're excited.
So excited.
Buzzing again. Let's go.
Question number one. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Randolph, the blue-nosed keeper, had a very shiny nose. But what I want to know is how many clean sheets did he get for Birmingham City?
Oh, mate. Is this like a closest, the closest one gets the
closest to start. Gets the points.
It's going to be like where he joined from or something. No. Right,
nope.
How many clean sheets? Okay. Right.
Okay. We were pretty bad, weren't we, around that time?
I might have over-egged it.
First season wasn't so great. Second season was slightly better.
I think that's too high. I'm going to change. Go on. All right.
Right. Lovely. Question number two. Ho, ho, ho. Saint Nick alive Brock Madsen. Did I fuck it there? Made how many appearances for Birmingham City? See how I made it Christmassy?
Yeah, love that, mate.
I'm not. It's unconfirmed reports of whether he's actually been made a saint. I don't know how you do that.
You've just made him one.
Oh, brilliant. Almost said the answer then. Accidentally. Just how many appearances for Birmingham City?
Okay.
Player who, you know, never was. Anyway, moving on to question number three. Are we ready for three?
Yes.
Okay. Right, now this one I had to go through the archives for. There's a lot of work gone into this question. The first game that Blues played on Christmas Day was against Walsall. I'm sure you remember it, Chris. It was a 3-3 draw.
Yep.
I just want to know, what year was that game played?
Oh, my God.
I can give you a clue.
Go on.
We were called Small Heath, Birmingham.
What year was that, Joe? Nearly.
You'd have to get up earlier than that. To call me.
Okay, ready. Got an answer.
Okay, well, I'll give it to the closest for that one as well. Be very impressed if anyone gets that. Number four. Hope you're enjoying the quiz. The penultimate question. Roy Wood of ELO is a Blues fan and the voice behind a popular Christmas song. But what is that song? Please name that song. Can we not? Please no conferring. Please no Googling. Put a year next to it as well in case you do get the same answer.
Okay, I've put a year, but I've changed my year as well. So, go on.
Okay, good for you. Next up. Now, you'll like this. Question number five. Roque Santa Cruz.
Nice.
Has scored one goal against Birmingham City. It was in the 90th minute of a 3-0 victory for Blackburn Rovers over Blues in the cup. But which year was this game played?
Oh, dear.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I thought you were going to say, who did he score it for? And I was like, yes, I know
that's what I thought as well, yeah.
Come on.
Okay, right.
Extra points if you give me the exact date. Which I'll then deduct as you've clearly been Googling.
Right, I've got an answer. I'm confident on one of them, maybe two.
You should have switched to like dramatic Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music for the reveal of the answers.
Christmas.
But nah, it's Christmas.
Hi, this is Adam from Future Fires, and we want to thank you for tuning in to We Are Birmingham podcast. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a fantastic new year.
From
Welcome back, sports and Christmas fans. We have found the answers to these four questions, and we're going to find out who the lucky winner is in the big fat WAB quiz. Not quiz of the year. Let's get it to the answers.
A big fat five question quiz. Savit.
Yes. The big fat little quiz. Okay. if you cast your minds back to the first question, it was Randolph the blue-nosed reindeer. Randolph the blue-nosed keeper. He had a very shiny nose. Unconfirmed whether that is actually true. But how many clean sheets did he get for Birmingham City? Can I hear your answers, please?
I've gone for 20.
And I've gone for 22. I thought it might have been a little bit lower than that, but I've gone 22. Close.
Well, the answer was... It was 19.
19. Oh, I should have gone lower.
I'm taking that. Closest.
So close, but well done. You get your point there, Chewy. Straight into question number two. Saint Nick Ali Brock Madsen made how many appearances for Birmingham City?
Now, I thought that we did this on Bottom Trumps a few weeks, months ago.
And months ago,
it was, yeah. I've gone for six.
I went for slightly more, eight. I thought there was more than six, but I can't remember to be sure. So they're all so memorable. Sort of.
They were, weren't they? Chris, can you get that ding sound ready for me?
Absolutely.
You got it right, it was six.
Fucking have it.
What?
Excuse my language.
Number of appearances.
What's that?
That's actually only double the amount of loan moves he made from Blues.
Great signing. Great
anyway,
signing.
Great stat. Yeah. Anyway, moving on to question number three.
Are those stats confirmed? Is that?
I can neither confirm nor deny. Moving on to number three. The first game. No, I did actually look. He made three loans. I don't know. I'm not a statistician. You should have got Blues breakdown on. The first game. The first game the Blues played on Christmas Day was against Walsall, of course. It was a 3-3 draw, 3-all. What year was it?
I have gone for 1890, but in reality, I haven't got a clue.
Absolutely no idea. So, 1882.
You're both wrong, but Chewy's closest. It's 1896.
1896. Oh. You weren't far off then.
Yeah, great years they were. They're the good old, the good year.
good old days.
Number four, Roy Wood of ELO is a Blues fan and the voice behind a popular Christmas song. But what is that song?
It's I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard.
And I've stupidly not put the name of the song, but I've put Wizard. I don't know why, but I thought I know the song wasn't called Wizard, but I just thought you wanted the name of the band.
Question.
I know, mate. Yeah, I know. You should have. I was so excited.
Well, anyway, the answer was I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. So I think that's, 3-1?
3-1.
Yeah, I'm only on one.
3-1. Does anyone know the year it was released?
I went for 1975, I think.
A bit earlier than that, 1974.
It was actually 1973, but there are no points for that, unfortunately. So we're going to move on.
Anyways.
So on to question number five. Rocky Santa Cruz. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did. Santa.
Very good.
Brilliant, mate.
Yeah, it's one for the, not everyone notices that. He scored one goal against Birmingham City in the 90th minute of the 3-0 victory for Blackburn over the Blues. But which year was this game played?
I've gone with 2007.
I'm pretty sure I wrote 2010, although it looks like I wrote Zola.
that popular year.
Yeah, 2010 I've gone for, which I'm not 100% sure, just trying to think of the window of when he played for Blackburn.
Well, I can reveal that it was 2007. That is a good,
well done.
Good consolation for you there, Chris, but yeah. You know, you still haven't won.
It means nothing.
It means
still a loser.
Absolutely nothing.
Still a loser. But congratulations.
Garbage time.
Well done.
Thank you. I'll take that.
And party.
Small victories.
Oh, Joe, what a fantastic quiz, mate. That was absolutely brilliant.
Unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. I put a lot of effort into those questions.
Some absolutely lovely Christmas blues questions. Love it.
Straight out of Tamworth.
Straight out of Tamworth.
I'm a big Christmassy fan, you know. I love the festive stuff, you know what I mean? Oh, I need to get a mince pie down me. I feel good.
Good stuff. If you want to give Tamworth a Joe a follow on any of his social media, you can do TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Tinder.
No. what do they search for? Brummy Joe?
Yeah, just pop Brummy Joe in there. Say hello.
He'll show up. Say hello to Tamworth Joe by searching for Brummy Joe. Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
As well. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. See you later. All the best.
Keep right on.
K-R-O.
If you enjoy our podcasts, please don't forget to share it on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Let people know that you're enjoying it.
And also don't forget to rate and review us on all podcast platforms.
If they allow it. Cheers, guys. And a couple of stories that have popped up this week before we look forward to the Forest game on Saturday. Josh Maha? Marja? Maha?
Marja Maha. Maha.
Maha. Maha.
Maha. Maha.
Maha. Maha.
Yeah, I don't
knowing
know.
Knowing me and if knowing you, listen, you Maha.
Maha. Well, there we go. That's sorted if he signs.
Yep, we've got a song.
If we get... Josh, if you're listening to this, I'm really sorry. We know he's not listening, all right.
Might listen.
Yeah, so...
Big Blues fan, apparently.
Massive, yeah. The biggest Blues fan in Bordeaux. Yeah, so obviously he was a bit of a star. Well, he came through the ranks at Sunderland, and
my only knowledge of him was at Sunderland and from Football Manager. That was it. That's the only reason that I knew.
That's probably Dong's only knowledge of him as well. To be fair, he's probably realised if he had decent potential, he's probably been on Dong's wish list for quite a while. So he bounced around there. A few academies, I think Fulham, Palace and Man City before he joined Sunderland. And, you know, did all right at Sunderland, I think, in terms of goal return. He scored, I think, about 15 goals in League One. And then, obviously, he's got his move to Bordeaux. You know, we know Sunderland wasn't probably been... It's probably as well run as Blues have over the past few seasons. So he obviously left and went to play in Bordeaux, and I thought he did all right in his first couple of seasons, or his first season or so there. Just scored a few goals. And obviously, it looks like they're willing to let him go based on a couple of stories in the French media. Understand that there's big issues with their TV deals over there, which means a lot of their clubs are having to shred players from the squad and try and make some money back. The talk of 6 or 7 million euros for him at, you know, at 20, was he 20, 21 years?
Yeah, 21.
Not at all. I'd be very surprised if anyone in the Premier League took him. You're probably looking at somebody in the Championship. There's talk of Sheffield United, but they've just spent 20 odd million on Rhian Brewster
I don't, and I feel like Sheffield United already have about 19 strikers already.
Yeah,
they've got. I don't.
Billy Sharp, McGoldrick, have they? Are they? They're both there. McBurney as well.
Ollie McBurney, yeah. Lynn Mousset is there as well, isn't he? And so they've got a fair few strikers there already. So whether or not this is true, I don't know. I would imagine if there's anything in it, you're looking at probably a loan with a view to buy. On the flip side, is he the sort of player I want Blues to be looking at? Absolutely, yes. 21 years old, mobile, can score goals. He's probably the sort of striker we would suit our system fairly well. Absolutely. I hope there is something in it, and I hope we do go after him. I'm finding it hard to believe that we have the money to pay for him outright.
That's the thing. It depends on whether that transfer is going to be something where it's, if they're struggling and they're willing to offload players, then, you know, the talk of 6 million might be overhyped, and it might be more like you 2-3 million, which is more affordable spread over the years.
I think it's probably looking at 3.5-4 million maximum, and that's with add-ons, as you say, spread. But you know, he's the sort of player we should be looking at. He's the sort of player I would like us to bring in. So I hope there is something in it. I don't know for sure. If there is something in it, at least we're looking at another forward, because I think another forward would be nice. I don't think it's end of the world if we stick with Hogan and Jukovic for this year. We've already spoken about that, but another forward would be nice. So yeah, let's hopefully that develops, and you know, we're not that far away from the window reopening. We keep forgetting that it's very close again, isn't it? So yeah.
Just over a week away.
Is it a window where we're going to see a lot of activity? I'm not 100% sure, with still the uncertainty of COVID and fans coming back.
I think a lot of people see transfer windows like their FIFA or Football Manager, and they go, yeah, if we just, we'll get rid of him and him, and then we can bring in him and him. And it's like, yeah, you need a buyer to be able to get rid of those. And it's not as easy as your FIFA and your Football Manager, where you transfer list someone and they go. Very rarely, unless someone's performing, that they'll want to take a player.
I find that in the January transfer window on FIFA, I can sell half of the players I don't want to the MLS.
Exactly.
You know, Seattle Sounders are taking people, Colorado Rapids are taking people. That just doesn't happen. There are a lot of times there aren't buyers for these players. If you don't want them, what's the chances of another team wanting them as well?
And more so at the moment.
We know we tried to move on Kefton Bell and Davis in the last window and had no luck at all. Okay, it's worked out all right for Kefton Bell because he's managed to work his way back into the team. Davis is still lingering around in playing in the under-23s, and he's still training with the first team squad. So, I mean, that's fair enough. But we've got to move players out as well. I don't think there'll be an awful lot of money to spend, because you know, we've got a stadium that's falling down and we have to, you know, put Gorilla Glue on the walls to keep it up and whatnot. So there's that as well to take into account. I think we need to see players go out if we want to do make any signings. I think we're probably at a full squad now anyway, in terms of numbers,
I think.
Registered players.
When we brought in Halilovic.
You mean Halilovic?
Halilovic?
Is that...
Dan, you listening?
Daniel, just that one there is for, Daniel Avery, who was having a go at us for pronouncing his name wrong.
But yeah, I think he was when he came in, he was probably the last player that we could have registered to the squad, was he?
I think so. Because I'm
at the limit.
Because I'm making the assumption that Josh McEachran has been registered as well, because he's been like the 19th man and on like hanging around the bench with the rest of the squad. So I'm assuming that, you know, we are with full now. Obviously, we can change that in.
January, February.
Yep. So,
February, is the end of Jan when you have to, you make your last change, and then February you have to declare who's in the squad.
Something like that, yeah, I think so. I mean, we could have some, income in terms of player sales, which one of the other stories that cropped up this week was, and I'm going to be honest, I know very, very little about him, but Callum Scanlon,
yeah,
left-sided defender, midfielder. I don't know if you can tell me anything about him, Chris. I know very little about him, but that's the story of him going to, potentially going to Liverpool, seems to have come out of nowhere.
I think he can play anywhere on the left-hand side. He can attacking fullback or wing back. I've never seen him. I'm not going to claim to have seen him or to know too much. I think that there's a possibility that this maybe ties in with the academy, the whole academy thing. With the we're pulling the academy. Oh no, we're not. We're keeping the academy going, and maybe that they've got to raise some funds. I know that we've just sold a player who came through the academy for 20-odd million, but maybe they've got to prove that it's worth keeping on. And one of those things could be that this player is the next in line to with some potential that could be offloaded, and that potentially the money that they're talking about could keep the academy in business.
It's a funny situation because, yeah, you're right. I think they need to generate funds to keep it going to the standard that they want to run it at. I think the article said for Scanlon it was going to be under 500,000. So you assume it's going to be 400, 450K, which is still quite a lot of money for a 15-year-old that hasn't really proven themselves. It's an interesting one because really Liverpool could take that to a tribunal via the elite player performance plan and probably get him for a lot less than that. So,
they might not figure that out.
Well, Jürgen is a regular listener to this podcast, to be fair. It's a strange one. Does that mean that there are other clubs in the running for him and Liverpool have just stumped up that amount of cash to say, like, there we go, let's do a deal? Or is somebody punting him around? Is there something else going on here? We saw the same with Romelu Mitchell. Was that last year he ended up going to Southampton for?
I can't remember if it was last year or the year before now. It was the... Everything sort of merged into one with the how the season has gone. But yeah,
there was talk of him going to Spurs and Liverpool and Wolves. Yeah. And then he went to Southampton. But then he came out afterwards and said, I chose Southampton because of their development for younger players, et cetera, et cetera. So he kind of gave you the reasoning behind why he wanted to move there. And you can understand that because, you know, there is a direct route for a lot of players at Southampton to get into the first team. They're very good at developing those players. So I could understand any player wanting to go there and do that, which is fair enough. Whether Scanlon will ever, you know, move to Liverpool and ever see the light of day in a red shirt, I'm not entirely convinced. But
you look at what Liverpool have brought through, and they have brought a few players through. So I mean,
they're doing it again recently. They've obviously there's been a few players. Curtis Jones is playing for them at the moment, who's come through the academy there. So
Trent obviously as well.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. He's a massive, really, probably one of the best right backs in the world at the moment. Yep. So if not the best. I think Trippier had a bet on him to be the best as well. we don't know too much about Callum Scanlon. The likelihood is it sounds like he's probably going to end up moving. It was in the local media in Liverpool as well. Paul Joyce, one of their journos, has sort of seemed to allude to the fact that it was there or thereabout. So, you know, if he goes, good luck to him. I don't think it will make a massive difference to us in the long run, to be honest. But, you know, the money is obviously an important factor for the club. So, you know, we'll take it and we'll fix our stand.
Well, like I say, if that money goes into keeping the academy going, maybe that will just be an awakening, because if he goes on to, if he moves there, and and make something. And in a couple of years, he's the left-sided Trent Alexander-Arnold. And he's came through our academy to this point, but then he's moved on. Maybe that will just make him think, oh, maybe there is something in it. I can't see that they will, because, you know, it's very short-sighted, isn't it, all the time. But
I don't think the academy thing's over. I think that's going to run. Yep. I think the changes that they kind of hinted at, alluded to, could still go ahead. I think it's really much depends on what happens between now and the end of the season, you know, maybe the next year. I know it's also one of the articles that I read, I think it was part of the Scanlon article. There was a mention of Joe Bellingham being linked to going to Borussia Dortmund as well. So that's a bit of a head scratcher for me, because he is 15, recently, yeah. 15 this year. I'm not sure if they can actually take him at the moment anyway. I'd need to check the family details of that.
I'm not sure how it works, but yeah. I imagine if the family were to move there, then he's allowed to move.
Better move soon before Brexit kicks in. Otherwise, he's going to be in trouble. Yeah. So, yeah, whatever. I mean, I think we kind of have in our heads that that's probably going to happen anyway at some point, where he'll probably go. Whether or not it's Dortmund or not, I don't know. But we've got a couple of years yet until we've got a chance of seeing him in our first team as it stands.
So, Boxing Day, after the Christmas festivities, hopefully not too many pigs in blankets or all the stuffing and turkey and whatever else that people have. Hopefully the players are sensible. Christmas Day, apparently, the players are in training as well. And if you remember, did you watch the Spurs documentary thing with Jose?
I've not watched it yet, actually. I've seen many clips. I think I could piece them all together and probably make half the series, to be fair.
Yeah, there's a lot floating around. But yeah, the players for Spurs were in training on Christmas night, ready for the Boxing Day game. Apparently Blues taking a similar route this year, that the players are in for training on the morning, out for a break during the day, so go and spend time with family or whatever, time at home. Then back in training on the evening, and then travelling on the night over to Nottingham, so that they've not got the early morning start Boxing Day.
So they'll go into Hooters that night before cracking on with the game today.
I don't know what tier of Forest in.
At a tier two, if they're going to Hooters.
Yeah. But only if they're from the same household.
Yeah. I don't.
It's disappointing, because Forest on Boxing Day would be a great away game to go to, but no fans.
Forest away is generally a very good game. A very good away day. I quite enjoyed doing that the few times I've done it. But I hate Boxing Day games. I just can't get myself up for Boxing Day games at all.
I find them really tough to get away from, sort of family things as well. It's one of them where you sort of have to make your escape and sort of plan it. But
I think it's difficult as well, because obviously you live in or around the city, whereas when I used to live in Northamptonshire, it was still an hour and a bit's drive up there. And
it's a long portion of the day.
Feeling a bit worse or wear from Christmas Day, and that's why I just did not enjoy doing Boxing Day games as I got older, because I just couldn't handle it. Away games probably would go to them less anyway, now I've got even further to travel for Boxing Day. So
you see, in the time that you're traveling, I'd be in the pub.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a
long day out for me, would have been a long day out for me, really. Last Boxing Day I went to, this is irrelevant by the way, to Coleraine versus Ballymena, which is a bit like the Blues Villa rivalry. They hate each other.
I remember you sharing the pictures of that, I think. And it's mad that it's a year since that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Since I've moved. Yeah.
It's flown. Considering how shit this year has been, it's flown by.
Yeah. I think I tweeted something similar the other day. Like, considering, like, at some points of the year, this year has gone by so slowly, and it feels like we've been living in Groundhog Day almost. And yeah, I've been here over a year now, which is, yeah, mental.
Anyway, yeah. Can we talk about football?
Yeah,
you got
football again.
Forest form. It's not been great, has it?
No. So Chris Hughton took over Forest beginning of October, I think. My natural response, and I think a lot of people's natural response to that, was with that squad, who and we have to turn them around and turn them into promotion contenders. That hasn't happened. Arguably, in the last sort of however many games they've had since he's been in charge, 15 or 16, I think they've only won 4 games. They're below us in the table. And I'm going to be honest, that's a bit of a surprise to me. I'd expected them to be a lot higher up. I don't know what's going wrong for them, but they've only won four games. I think they've lost 11 in the league. They are 5 points behind us in the table. So, you know, you expect us to go there and get something from there. Really, they've drawn a fair few games recently as well, I think. So,
I don't think, like you said, though, they've got a decent squad, decent manager. It's not something that we can go and underestimate and just go into and think, oh,
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I'd be very surprised if we did underestimate them. I don't feel that's in Karanka's DNA.
Doesn't always need to be in the managers, though, does it? It can be in the players.
You're right, but all they have to do is look below them in the table and see.
They're right up their ass, really, aren't they? They're right behind them, so it's they need to be. Essentially, the players need to look at this and think, we can pull a gap out here. This is one of the games where they can't move with us. We can actually pull away from them by beating them. So,
and in that respect, and I don't think we'll be in trouble come the end of the season, but it is a big game in that respect. Yeah. I mean, if you look below us on the table, you can see Wickham, Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham, QPR, Coventry, and Derby, as well as Forest. We don't have a win against any of those teams that we've played this season. No. It'd be nice for us to change that.
We've got two of them coming up over the next few days.
We got Derby as well?
Yeah, Derby after.
I should probably remember that. I did, funny enough.
and then forgot.
And then forgot very quickly. And then you confirmed it for me. So, yeah. Derby, who I think have maybe had a little bit of upturn. I want to say they've had a little bit of upturn in fortune since they made their managerial change. I think they picked up a few draws and had a nice win against Swansea recently. They've done all right, I think. So, since they made their change. So on to Forest anyway. I'm confident that we can go out there and get something. I'd be happy with a draw, but I think we need to go and win. I would expect us to play 4-2-3-1. I'd expect us to play Sonjic and Kevin Beld in the middle.
I think that's the big one. It's whether we revert back to those two, and he looks at it and he goes, it didn't work. I tried it didn't work. Those two back in, the system works. Yeah. Because we've played arguably some of our best football this season with that system. It works. Mm-hmm. Don't tinker with it. just go back to what has worked for us and pick up some points.
Yeah, and it'll make a massive difference if we go there and get something. I'm more confident playing away from home. We've already spoken about it. We seem to be.
Are you?
We seem to be.
You're more confident playing away from home. I won't tell you, Mrs.
Not me personally. No. I'm more confident with Blues playing away from home and getting something, especially if we're in our lovely green shirts.
Well, it won't be red.
No, so we'll have red and green. It'll be a very festive looking fixture on the field. And let's hope Blues come home with the 3 points, or back to Birmingham with 3 points.
What are you going to go for?
I'm going to be confident. I'm going to go for 2-1 Blues. I think
you're swaying here.
I'm moving away from my 1-1. Last season it was 2-2. This season it was 1-1. No, I'm feeling a 2-1. I'm feeling a Scotty Hogan on the score sheet, and probably a defender. It feels like that's a regular thing at the moment. So yeah, would that
make Hogan the top scorer with three?
What's he got so far? He's got Bournemouth and not Rotherham, Barnsley, didn't he? It was his two.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's on two. Yeah, I think he's on two, along with Harley D.
Along with half the squad.
Yeah, he's also got two.
Colin,
so.
Duke, they're both on two.
I think Colin's only got one. So
I thought he'd got two.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
a handful of them. No one.
We haven't scored that many goals. It shouldn't be that difficult to remember. I'm feeling fairly confident. I think we'll go there and get something. We can't underestimate them. You're right, because they've got a good squad, and at some point that is going to click for Hoot, and it always does. He's got a very good record in this league, and if they don't do it this season, I'm more than confident if they're. Owner keeps him in charge for next season, they'll certainly turn it around. But I'm going to go 2-1. I do fancy it, and I think I don't know what I was going to say then. 2-1 Blues.
You know what's coming from me, don't you? 3-0.
3-0.
3-0. I'm going to stick with it. It's got to come at some point.
It's going to keep going.
It's been over 2 years. It's got to come at some point.
Yeah, thanks. We think, is that what Ben from Blues Breakdown was alluding to?
Yeah,
was
yeah,
2 years that, since the last
that was
3-0, which was
700 and something days. And
Wigan away from home, wasn't it? I think, yeah. So, yeah.
I'm sticking with it.
Oh, well, I'll take either of them, to be fair.
Hogan hat-trick as well.
Oh, mate, last time you predicted a hat-trick, didn't you get it right? Was it Shea Adams?
Oh yeah! Do you know what? not right. Yeah, there you go. 3-0. Yeah. Hogan hat-trick. That means Hogan's going to be dropped to the bench. Duke's going to start.
Go and put your bet on. Yeah, I think that time you predicted that Adams would score 4 goals across the 2 games or something to take him to a certain. I can't remember now, but it was
20 goals or something, wasn't it? I think it was his
we beat QPR 4-3 with that last minute penalty save from Lee Camp, and then we went. Then we play at home and either draw 0-0 with Bolton or lose 1-0 to him or something. Yeah, I think we lost 1-0, maybe, did we? And Shea Adams did not score. So
did I not predict a right hat trick?
I can't remember if you said a hat trick, or I think you may have done. I think you did predict a hat trick. Yeah. Let's hope you're right this time as well. Hogan looked quite lively, I thought, against Middlesbrough. Certainly in those opening stages, and onto the end of a lovely through ball by Bella, and good chance of a header. So you know he's getting into those positions and doing the right things. We just need to ensure that he's getting the service, which hasn't always been the case. This season
it's been coming. So now's not the time to take him out of the side. Let him carry on, and he will flourish. Hopefully,
absolutely. I do fancy it on Saturday.
Boxing Day.
It's Boxing Day Saturday.
Yeah, but just call it. Boxing Day.
Boxing Day game. Yeah, we're going to do it, Chris. We're going to win one way or another. One of us is going to be close to being right. Yeah. Well, both of us will be happy, hopefully.
Unless we're both completely wrong. let's hope that's not the case.
No. It's happening.
It's happening. Have a lovely Christmas, Chewy. Have a lovely Christmas. Thank you,
you
to
mate?
Everyone. Thank you, mate. Thanks to everyone for listening. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy having a few beers, if that's your thing, or a few glasses of sherry or Baileys or whatever.
Ribena. Coffee, tea.
Whatever you enjoy. Have a great Christmas. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Luck a lie, Bull.
Wishing you a